Chapter 2, What is an RPG? Let's start with the biggest central question to this whole series. What is a role-playing game?
The great debate.
And debated it is. Like yes. Every hobby out there, everyone has a slightly different take on how it's played and a slightly different take on what they want to get out of it. Think of any number of games you see on a regular basis. Bowling would be a great example. There are some people that get into leagues, take it real seriously. They play with certain rules. And the guy next to him may be playing with bumpers.
The Cosmic Bowl.
And the exact same thing is true of role-playing games. If you ask 100 different people,
the vast majority of them will tell you, what in the hell is a role-playing game?
Well, but if you ask 100 role-playing game players what a role-playing game is, you will probably get 100 slightly different definitions and things that they're going to take away from it. So what we're going to try and do is paint a definition that at least encompasses the majority consensus. Mm-hmm. For example, with bowling, whether it's cosmic bowling or bumper bowling or real
or
serious
beer league
bowling
or whatever,
they're still trying to put a ball down at the end of the lane and knock over the pin. I think a great place to start is with the name of the hobby itself, role-playing game. Most people coming into this, I think we can safely assume, understand what that last part game means. I mean, we know what games are. We've all played football or video games or watched Wheel of Fortune on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the first part of the name for a minute, role-playing. What does it mean to play a role? Well, think of an actor. When they get up on stage, whether it's for a movie or for a play, for a little bit of time, they are pretending to be someone else. Maybe they're someone famous from history, or they're a cop, or they're a criminal, or just whatever the story happens to be about. The exact same thing is going to happen in a role-playing game. For a little bit of time, you are going to take on the role of someone else. In other words, you are going to pretend to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something other than what you are really doing. One of the big things that's going to set this apart from normal acting is the fact that it's a game. There is structure and rules to how this is played. And if it doesn't totally make sense how you could have a game where the only purpose is simply pretending to be someone else, just bear with us, because throughout the series, we're going to work you through exactly how that's done and even give you some quick and simple examples here on Mike. So with that said, the first thing I want to say about a role-playing game that makes it different from most other games is that it's not competitive.
No, that is a really, really important distinction, because we're talking about a game here, and most games that you play, whether it be a video game or a basketball game or a board game, you have a winner. And that's kind of how we're taught to play games, is that there's even a friendly competition, there's still a winner. This is one of those few times in life where really everybody is a winner. And that's the whole
point. Or everyone's a loser. And here's why that is. A role-playing game is very much a social event.
Yes.
I think a role-playing game actually has a lot more in common with a social mixer than it does with a traditional game for that reason.
You have a group of friends. You invite them over to your house. You have some snacks out, maybe a couple of drinks. Everybody's talking and relaxing. But then the structure comes in. You know, it's like, okay, you start. You play the game. But Dan, let's stop beleaguering this point here. When we say you play the game, what do you mean by that?
All right. Is anyone, and I'm sure people listening have seen something like this, or at least heard of something like this, where you're watching a movie or a TV show, and at some point it stops, and there might be little buttons on your chair in the theater. It says press A if you want the guy to go to the left, press B if you want him to go to the right. Well, a role-playing game is something like that. There's going to be one person in the group, and they might be called a game master, a dungeon master, a referee.
There's a lot of different titles depending on the game, they're all the same.
It's the same thing. There is someone there who basically is setting a situation, is telling a story, and is ultimately going to judge the results of anything that occurs in the world. But what sets a role-playing game apart from any other type of storytelling is that game master aside, everyone else that's sitting around that table controls one character in the story. So if I sit down to write a book and that book has four characters in it, I always get to decide what they do and how the story is going to turn out. But in a role-playing game, if I have four players, I have no control over what they're going to do.
Right.
Just like the character in our press button A to make him go left, press button B to make him go right. There is a character in that story the game master cannot control. And the game master has to work with these people to build a story and to challenge each other. So let's do a quick example here. Chad, let's pretend you're a game master.
Okay.
And let's say that we are going to do a game. And we decide amongst ourselves that we like horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a horror story. And like so many horror stories, this is going to start with a group of us camping in the wood.
Right.
So there's only one player in this case, which is me.
Yeah. But, usually there's more.
That's, but you're the game master. Yeah. Just tell me what's going on. How many people am I with? What's occurring here?
Okay. Dan, your character is hiking through the woods. Sun is setting. There's a red glow across the sky. And yeah, it was a fairly nice day. But now you notice the moon is coming up and it's a big, bright, white, full moon. And you could see all the craters and details in the clear sky. As you look at it through the leaves and through the woods of the trees and such.
And here's Chad telling the situation, but once again, he can't control what I do. So I say, okay, well, you know, it's getting close.
I'm just telling you what you see.
Yeah, just what I see. I say, you know what? It's getting close to nighttime and I really don't feel comfortable hiking through the woods at night because even in our modern age, there still are wild animals and crazy folk about.
Sure.
So I'm going to find someplace relatively safe, a little bit off the path, maybe behind some bushes. And I'm going to settle down, roll out my sleeping bag, and that's where I'm going to lay for the night.
So, Dan, you and your friends, you have about three people with you, the friends that your character went to college with, and you know you trust them. They're pretty nice guys, and you guys have been hiking all day, and you're starting to feel tired and stuff, and you know the trail is becoming indistinct, and you kind of have gone off the trail, and you feel the branches and stuff brush against your face, and you're kind of fighting through it and stuff. But up on the hill, you see a cabin with a light in it, and it wasn't necessarily where you had planned on going. You guys can't probably planned on camping out, but if this is somebody's front yard, you don't want to camp in on their front yard. And anyway, it'd be nice to say hi, and you know you're out here for adventure anyway.
How big of a cabin is it?
It still looks like a one-room cabin, clapboards. You know, it's not log cabin, it's sort of flat panel thing, but it's dark and it's a little ways away.
Outside of the light, does it look like anyone lives there? Do I see a car out front? No.
No, this is, and there's no path leading up. Well, I mean, there's a little path leading up to it, but there's no driveway. There's no helicopter landing pad. You are literally in the middle of nowhere. You are miles from civilization. The sun is going down. It's getting a little chilly, and the sound of the frogs and crickets are going on about you. And, you know, so what do you do?
And this is exactly how a role-playing game proceeds. That you see, Chad is telling the story, and I am deciding how I want to respond to that story. Now, he's just told me there's a cabin there. And I can decide, do I want to go up to this cabin out of curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to say, you know what? Discretion is a better part of valor. I've seen The Deliverance. I'm not going to go snooping around the woods in the middle of the night in strange country.
And no matter where he goes, I'm still going to have the werewolf attack him.
So, but one of the things that you may be wondering at this point is, how did we come up with all this? How did we come to the conclusion that I'm a guy in the woods, or there's a cabin there, or any of this stuff? And this is why we call this collaborative storytelling, because this all came purely out of our imagination.
Yes.
That this is an exercise that goes back thousands of years in human history of guys sitting around a campfire telling each other stories that they made up on the spot, or maybe in weeks or years prior to this, that they want to tell. The big thing you're doing is you're allowing the other person to take some part in the story that you can't predict and that you don't know going into it.
And for me, and hopefully for a lot of other people, that is what makes role-playing games so fun. You're working with people to tell a great story, and you still don't know what's going on. There's still that sense of mystery and surprise and such. And for both people, for both the game master, because he does know what the players are going to do, and how that's going to change and affect his story that he has going on in his mind. And the players don't know what the game master is going to throw at them, or where the story's going to go and how they're going to affect it, too. It's really neat.
And there is also a third party in this game, which no one can control, which is a random decision maker. And you're used to this from any board game. Whenever you roll dice, something is occurring that nobody can control. Let's say, for example, in this story that I say, well, you know what? I'm curious about the cabin.
Yeah, go up to the cabin.
But I'm not stupid.
Nah, you...
So I'm going to attempt to sneak up to the cabin.
Ooh.
And I don't want the person in there. I'm going to try to avoid the windows because I don't want the person there to see me.
See, I didn't plan on Dan being this paranoid. So I got to think up, okay, how am I going to play this out?
But on top of that, here's something we've got to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Did I successfully sneak up without being seen?
Now, see, as a game master, I could say, well, yes, you did make it, or no, you didn't. But if I look at Dan and I do that and I say, as a game master, well, Dan, you step on a twig and you just fail.
Yeah, that's not.
And the guy comes out with shotgun and blows you away. Now you're dead. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we call not fun.
Exactly. So, and conversely, if I just get to say, you know what, I sneak up and I succeed. What was the point of the game? Why don't I just tell Chad that I've won, that the whole thing's over? So what we would instead do here is we would introduce a random decision maker. We're going to keep this real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we take a coin. Okay, so I take a quarter out of my pocket. On heads.
A whole quarter?
This is
the most expensive game I've ever ran.
I take a shekel out of my pocket. And if we land on... Well, menorah, but if we land on heads...
Menorah or Israel is your choice.
If we land on heads on the quarter, it's a head, so I got seen. If I land on tails, then I successfully make my way around all the dead leaves and twigs, and I make it to the cabin.
Okay, flip your coin. Heads, you make it. Tails, you don't. And he succeeds, so now the hat gets passed back to me. I look at Dan as the game master, and I say, okay, you succeeded. You're going up to the cabin, right? And he says, yeah, I'm going up to the cabin, sneaking around. I'm like, okay, you know, you crouch down real low. You tell your friends to kind of stay back a little bit and keep quiet. You're going to check things out. And you leave your pack with them or whatever. And, you know, you kind of make your way through the brush and you're about to step on some dead leaves and you see it in the last little vestiges of the sunlight. And then you kind of go around that and you eventually, and I just do this description to where he eventually makes it up to the cabin and looks in the window. And then I describe what he sees. And so he sneaks up to the window and he looks in and light's pouring out. And what does he see? I guess you'll just have to find out.
So one thing that we really want to emphasize is the fact that role-playing games is storytelling with one person at the helm, but no one person absolutely in control. Everyone has their say. Everyone has their piece. Everyone has their chance to challenge everyone else at the table. Because Chad can put me in situations I don't expect, and I can respond in ways that he does not expect.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes the hobby great. This has been a production of Fear the Booth, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to fearthebooth.com.